Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
This morning. So glad that you're here. Man, I don't know if you were up at sunrise this morning, but if the Lord declares his handiwork, his majesty in his creation, it was so beautiful this morning, but just as beautiful is his presence with us here in this house. Lord, this morning in this house, as we come to be with each other, yes, but as we come to be with you, may the same God may the same God that healed the sick and fed the hungry and raised the dead, may that same God show up here. May the same God that split the Red Sea wide open split us wide open. And may you come, Lord, and do something in this house, even this morning, do something here that begins to change not just us, but change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're reading from a passage of Scripture. There's a balm of healing in Capernaum. And y'all, there's a balm of healing here at St. Luke's this morning. This is the word of the Lord. Hear and receive God's word this morning. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. He had kind of his home base during his ministry days was in Capernaum up on the Sea of Galilee. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door in the courtyard, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them, and since they couldn't get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, they lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming." Then they ask a pretty good question. "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'?" In other words, he could say, "Your sins forgiven," they never know what's happened. But if he says, "Get up, take your mat and walk," if they see it, right? "And so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." He got up, took up his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." Lord God, this morning, Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so, Jesus, we invite you here to do amazing things in us. Amazing things for us, so that you can do amazing things through us in this world. Jesus, I pray that you come here this morning and you do what you did to that paralyzed man. God, I pray that you come here this morning and you do what you did in those four friends of his that had that visible faith. Let that faith be our faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So, my eyes, you know, I'm 60, right? So all of you that have been 60, you've already been, you know, I mean, my vision is just not what it used to be. This summer, it's tying fishing line for Janie and for our little grandkids too. But man, I could just barely see that line. And then you got to tie a certain kind of knot and you got to stick it through that. Have you ever seen the hole that's in a fish hook? It's, I mean, it is teeny tiny. that was a real struggle for me. I could barely see that. And a couple of weeks ago, I played golf, and man, I could barely see the ball. I wish I could say I hit it so far that I could barely see the ball, but Danny Leak knows that's not the case. So anyway, so he was like, I was glad I was playing with a younger guy. He could at least see where my ball went, right? And then last night, doggone it, or yesterday afternoon, we got on the plane in Nashville. It was 24-17. We just kicked a field goal. I didn't get to see any of that. Oh, my word. This morning, we're not talking about my ability to see, but rather we're talking about the absolutely clear and powerful 2020 vision of Jesus. We're talking about, what does Jesus see when he sees us? Does he see our faith? This morning, four characteristics of the visible faith that Jesus is calling us to have and calling us to live out in our lives. First, we see that visible faith, the visible faith that we find in Mark 2 and those four friends, the visible faith that we find here is a faith that sees. A faith that sees. These four guys saw their friend's need. They saw his suffering. They saw his brokenness. They saw that he needed Jesus. What do you see when you look around you? What do you see when you're out walking in your neighborhood? Or what do you hear when you're visiting with your friends at work? Or what do you notice about the people around you when you're at the grocery store, eating out at the restaurant? What do you see? Do you take the time to notice, to pay attention to the hurting and broken people that are all around you? This morning, was I came to church about 7:30, and there was this young guy. I don't even think he was out of high school. I would say 16 or 17, and he's just walking. I don't have a great miracle story here at all, but I at least took time to roll down my window and say, "Hey, man, you all right?" He told me he was okay. I'm not so sure. What do you see? Remember how Jesus saw the crowds. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, now by the way, when his disciples saw the crowds, they said, "Oh Lord, send them home." When the Pharisees saw the crowds, they thought, "Those people are foolish." But when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Remember how Jesus talks about those who belong to him and to his kingdom. This is the sheep and the goats parable that Jesus told from Matthew chapter 25. The righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, sisters of mine, you did unto me." What do you see? Do you see Jesus and that teenage boy walking in the middle of the early morning? What do you see in that waitress that you know she or he are just busting their buns just to make a living for their family? What do you see in your own neighborhood, in your own circle of friends, in your own family? What do you see? The very first session I went to at the New Room Conference this week was Hearing the Voice of God, led by Jack Deere. Jack Deere writes some great books. Read them. So on the way in, I got this little, I don't know, it's a little, just a little snack pack. It had almonds and cran raisins, just little seeds. It's just a great little snack thing. You can get them anywhere. But so I got that, and Janie and I went in, and we were kind of, I guess we were almost seated on the very back row. And there's about 250 people in this room. And somewhere in there, I dropped an almond. This is not my floor. This is somebody else's conference floor, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, man, I got to get that. You know, it's like, I don't know what, 5-second rule, 3-second rule. I was like, I got to get it. And so I just bent down as fast as I can to get that almond, you know. And when I did, I hit the chairs right in front of me. Y'all see that right there? I was bleeding at the conference, you know. So anyway, You know how I knew I was bleeding? Not because I felt the stuff running, blood running down my forehead, but I saw the skin, my skin on the edge of the chair in front of me. Oh, Lord. Do you have skin in the game? Do you have skin in the game of making a difference in somebody else's life? Are you, is your life just all circled in on yourself? Are you letting God open your eyes to see the needs of those around you? Do you care enough to actually see, to actually get involved and invested in helping someone find their way to Jesus? The folks with the visible faith in Mark chapter 2, they were willing to see, they were willing to care, they were willing to invest in getting their friend from where he was to where Jesus was. Second characteristic of a visible faith is that it is a faith that moves. It's not a faith that just hangs out. It's a faith that is in action, a faith that's moving. These four guys didn't just see their friend's needs. They didn't just acknowledge his sickness or hear his cries. They didn't just pat him on the back and tell him everything's going to be all right. They moved him from where he was to where he needed to be. They carried him from point A of his need to point Z of being at the very feet of Jesus. Here's the deal. Your faith, my faith, will never be what God wants it to be until we're willing to move. If we're staying where we are, guess where we are? Where we are. Until we're willing to move from where we are to where Jesus wants us to be, we're never going to have the faith that Jesus wants us to have. It's a moving faith. This week at New Room Conference, we heard a speaker share about awakening, share about Jesus, speaker after speaker sharing about the power of God's Spirit. And again, they didn't just ask us to hear their talk. They ask us to respond. They ask us to receive. They ask us to move to God and let God move in us. And again, they would open up the altar. Now, honestly, it wasn't an altar. It was just the front of the sanctuary that holds about 3,000 people. Honestly, our whole team, Joel included, especially me, especially Janie and me, we spent a ton of time on our knees and on our face before God. Guys, if we don't start getting out of our comfortable pews, if we don't start getting out of our convenient lives, if we don't get sick and tired of the same old, is all we're ever going to have in our lives. All we're ever going to have in our families. All we're ever going to have in our church. All we're ever going to be in this world. For some reason, we tend to get disgusted at everything going on around us, but unwilling to make any connection in our minds and our hearts to our complicity, our responsibility for what's going on. If God's kingdom is going to come, if His will is going to be done on this earth as it is in heaven, then we must let His kingdom, His rule, move and reign in us. And for that to happen, we got to be willing to move toward Jesus. If we're not moving, we're not living. You remember when you were kids, did y'all ever used to play dead? Right? I would illustrate, but I don't know if I could get back up. Anyway, you know, when you're laying there and playing dead, the key is don't move, right? Don't breathe. You know, don't move. I know that was just a game we played long ago, but it was a game that was based in a very real reality. Dead things don't move, but live things, living things do. Are you moving this morning? Are you moving from where you are to where God wants you to be? Christianity is a dynamic relationship with the living God, and you're either growing or you're dying. Are you breathing in? Are you breathing in the very love and purpose and power of God's Holy Spirit? Or are you just stuck? Not moving, not going anywhere. These four friends were willing to move that man, that paralyzed man, from where he was to where Jesus was. Are you willing to move and keep on moving to Jesus? If you ever get stuck, you ever get stagnant, you're not living anymore, you're not growing anymore, you're going the other way. Christianity is a dynamic relationship with the living God. Third characteristic of visible faith is that it overcomes. It overcomes. When the four friends arrive where Jesus is, I'm sure they're tired. I'm sure they're sweaty. I'm sure they have a measure of exhaustion in their bodies. You ever been there? Depleted, worn out, exhausted? But when they get to the house where Jesus was, they can't get to Jesus. There are so many people crowded around Jesus in this house and in the courtyard that they can probably hear Jesus, maybe in the distance, but they can't see him. And Jesus can't see them. They weren't called to bring their friend to a house. They weren't called to bring their friend to a courtyard. They weren't called to bring their friend to a crowd. They were called and they were committed to bringing their friend all the way to Jesus. So instead of being defined by the obstacles around them, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get him all the way to Jesus. So they climb up on the roof of this house. It's not their house. They climb up on the roof of this house. They lift up, raise up, however, their paralytic friend. And then they begin to tear away and cut into the roof. Now, there probably was an entrance from, you know, probably was a door maybe big enough for one person to get up there on the roof. I mean, that would have been a normal thing in that culture. But they're not getting one person. They're cutting a hole big enough in that roof, tearing away the tiles, tearing away whatever the roof is made of. They're tearing it away, cutting into it so they can lower this paralytic guy, his whole body and his mat, right down at the feet of Jesus. This morning, what's standing in your way? What's standing in your way of you getting all the way to Jesus? What's holding you back from really giving Jesus your all? What's stopping you from making a difference in this world for Jesus? I mean, is it your fear? Is it your need to always be in control? Is it your love for this world and the things of this world? Is it some secret unconfessed sin that's ruining your life? Is it some old heart wound that you've had for so long that it's gotten toxic to yourself and to others? Whatever it is, it needs to be cut out and cast out in the name of Jesus. However great your obstacle is this morning, God is greater, no doubt. You hear me? No matter how great, no matter what that obstacle is, no matter how great it is in your life, God is greater. And he will show you a way. He will be the way for you to overcome. Trust in him. Go all the way to him. Let nothing deter you or stop you from being who God wants you to be. Let nothing deter you or stop you from getting not a little bit of the way, not part of the way, but all the way to Jesus. One of our speakers this week was a missionary named Carol Ward. I got her book. It's a great book. And I just recommend you go listen to her on YouTube. You can go read her book. But anyway, her surrender to Jesus was all summed up in a prayer she prayed when she was in her 40s. And that prayer was, Lord Jesus, send me. Lord Jesus, send me where no one else wants to go. Isn't that a great prayer? That prayer would take her all around the world, but it would land her in northern Uganda, in southern Sudan, in the middle of Joseph Kony's reign of terror. Y'all know this from the late 90s, early 2000s. Joseph Kony's reign of terror, where literally millions of people were abused and killed, raped, just all kinds of atrocities. Children were not just orphaned. They were abused and brainwashed and turned into deadly child soldiers who acted more like killing machines than children. Carol faced all kinds of obstacles just beyond description. It just goes on and on. But burning villages, blazing bullets, broken and devastated souls. She describes the people as walking dead. I mean, that they were breathing, just barely, but there was no soul in them. They were lifeless. They were definitely Christless. And all she knew, all Carol knew to do was to go to God, to go to Jesus. And so in a 9x9 shack, just let me step this off. Okay? That wide and that deep. In a 9x9 shack, she started a house of prayer. And all day long, people would come to be prayed for. And you see that picture. That's not just her out in the middle. That she's having a prayer meeting right there. One child after another, after another, after another. All day long, they would come and be prayed for. And they would come and pray. I mean, it wasn't just Carol praying. It began to be a movement. And they had a prayer rally in an open field where thousands came. And then they had a prayer conference where tens of thousands came for days and days to call upon the name of the Lord. And there were two scriptures that aimed Carol and focused Carol in those difficult days. And one we quote often around here, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, and so her vision is all these people are going to come to know Christ. As they come to know Christ, they're going to call on his name and humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. She knew that the way for Uganda to be healed was not in overcoming in some earthly, physical, bullet, bomb-based way, but in the very grace of Jesus made real. Her other scripture that she claimed again and again was Romans 9. And this is one you may not be as familiar with, Romans 9:25. And as it says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people. So all these people that didn't know Jesus, I will call all of the people in Lubbock, Texas who don't know Jesus, and even all the people in Lubbock, Texas who think they know Jesus, I will call them my people who are not yet my people. And I will call her, this nation, my loved one who is not yet my loved one. She's praying that for Uganda. Maybe it's time we start praying that for America. Here's what the Lord wants me to say to you this morning. No matter what your obstacle is this morning, don't give up the battle. Instead, surrender to the Lord. Don't give up to the obstacle. Instead, give yourself up to Jesus. Don't let the obstacle win. Don't let the obstacle have its way. Instead, let Jesus have you. Let Jesus have his way in you. The only way to overcome is to let Jesus overcome in you. The final characteristic of visible faith is that visible faith transforms. Visible faith leads to transformation. Visible faith is not the source of transformation, but it is the means of transformation. Those four guys did not, please hear me, they did not heal their friend, but they were the conduits of that healing. They were the means by which their friend's healing occurred under the authority of Jesus. The transformation that Jesus offers here in Mark 2 is both salvific on the inside and healing on the outside. The Greek word for salvation is all about wholeness and wholeness and healing. And it happens not just when our bodies are made well or our bodies get better on the outside, but when our hearts are set free on the inside. So in our passage this morning, these four friends finally get their paralyzed, suffering friend. I mean, I don't know how long he's been sick. They bring him. They finally get him at the feet of Jesus. And this, don't miss it, This is what happens. Verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, he said to the paralyzed man on the mat, on the little, it's probably like a pallet. He said to him, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, wait a minute, Jesus. This guy's paralyzed. Son, your sins. Wait, Jesus, he needs to get up. I mean, he's got a physical problem. We tend to compartmentalize our identity. When our bodies are sick, we go see a doctor. When our emotions are struggling, we go see a counselor. When we got a spiritual issue, we come to church. But that is not the way the ancient Hebrews or Jesus understood our humanity. Remember the great commandment Jesus said, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. So when everyone else saw this man's obvious and great physical need, Jesus also saw his great spiritual need. He needed, just like I need and you need, he needed to be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So by the way, if in your own life, if you've never made the connection that what's going on in your body affects what's going on in your emotions, or what's going on in your relationships affects what's going on in your body, what's going on or not going on with the Lord affects how you're feeling physically, mentally, emotionally. If you haven't ever connected those dots, it's time to stop compartmentalizing your identity. And it's time to give all that you are and all that you have and all that you will ever be. It's time to give your all, body, mind, spirit, and soul. It's time to give your all to the one and only one who is the great physician. It's time to give your all to the one and only one who is the great caregiver. It's time to give your all to the one and only one who is the great savior of the totality of who you are. Where do you need healing this morning? Where do you need the powerful and transforming touch of Jesus in your life right now? Is it forgiveness on the inside? Is it healing on the outside? Is it freedom from some addiction? Is it some relationship that needs restoration? Is it God's provision for some very practical need in your life? Where do you need the touch of Jesus this morning? So this morning I've asked some of the prayer team folks to come up and help us if y'all start coming at this time. So there's a few of us here, and so what we're going to do this morning is anoint you with oil. So all we're going to do is we're going to make the sign of the cross on your forehead, and we're going to pray this prayer. Be healed and be made whole in the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to pray. Be healed and be made whole in the name of Jesus. So y'all, two things are obvious this morning. This healing story happened in community. This paralyzed man didn't make himself well. Y'all, where does healing happen? In the body of Christ, in community. We need each other. If I belong to Jesus and you belong to Jesus and we belong to each other, that's why we have grace groups and Sunday school classes and a prayer team to pray for you. Second thing that's so very, very obvious is that healing only comes from the healer. Healing and wholeness is only found in Jesus. The visible faith that we've been talking about this morning is not about faith in faith. It's not about faith in something. It's about faith in someone. Okay, you guys spread out along here. Now look, I brought these this morning. We had some really good friends. We've been to the Buddy Holly once. And it's so, how many of y'all have been to the Buddy Holly Center? Is it awesome? So we've been there once, and our friends that gave us tickets, they said, you might want to bring your binoculars. And it was a Carole King story. It's a great, I mean, so much fun. It was so great. And they were right. If we really wanted to see what's going on the stage, We needed binoculars. Y'all, don't make Jesus put on binoculars this morning. Let him see your faith. Let him see your trust. Let him see your hunger for him. Well, maybe. Show him. Move, come, receive what he needs to give to you. Maybe you don't even know what you need to receive, but receive this morning what he needs to give to you. Delete, come on. Lord Jesus, this morning, you know what's going on in every single person here. God, you know there's some struggles in some families here. Lord, we all know there's all kinds of physical needs here. But Lord, there's hurts. There's stuff from the past. There's wounds that we need to be healed from and set free from. So Lord God, just as we say this simple prayer, be healed, be made whole in the name of Jesus. I pray that the same thing happened to that paralytic, that same things that happened to him would happen to us. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.